home safely. Father, we praise you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the hard work, Kevin, and all the choir, the Calvary Choir, Lord. We thank you for Danielle, all the people that work so hard, especially the little kids. Lord, they've been working since September, and I'm so thankful for them. And Lord, we just ask you right now, the mission team that's on their way back home from the orphanage in Mexico, Lord, bless them, protect them, bring them home safely. Especially this morning, Lord, we lift up Shannon and Jay, the Sappington family. They're in China. They have now in their possession their brand new daughter. Lord, bring them home safely. We pray to see them on Christmas Day as well. James Borden, who just had surgery in the hospital, be with him. Lord, be with us this service. Help me now to teach your word faithfully and accurately, for indeed Jesus is the reason for this season. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. One more thing as we turn in our Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 2 this morning, like maybe a pre-Christmas sermon, if you will. But if you note, if you picked up a bulletin, you'll notice on the front of that bulletin, by the way, is a picture of our 24 years ago or whatever it was, our first kids' Christmas program. And so it's right there on the front of your bulletin. That 10-year-old is me. never mind. Okay, you know, it's okay. The Lord doesn't want me to start lying from the pulpit, neither do you, okay? But anyway, I just thought you might like to see that. And you know what's really incredible? I showed a picture this morning to Danielle, the lady that came out, who's our kids' church director. I have a picture of her in that program that's on your bulletin when she was a little girl, and there she was singing in the first a kids' church program here at Calvary Chapel. So God is so good. What a wonderful day. I'm so glad to see each and every one of you there here today. Listen, quickly, I know I don't have much time, maybe 2 hours, but as we get into the Word this morning, just a short time to be with you before, because this is really the kids' program day, and of course, the Calvary Choir and Kevin and all that. But you know, listen, it's so important that we not become so familiar with Christmas that we don't understand it and that we don't celebrate it the right way. You know, I don't know if the Lord was born on December 25th, but that doesn't matter. The fact is, he was born. He came here. Amen. And this morning, you know, what I briefly just want to share with you from my heart is how do we as believers, how do we bring Christmas to the world? To your families, to your lost family, to your prodigal sons or daughters. How do we as a believer bring Christmas to this world that's so fallen and so dark that we live in? How do we do that? How do we do that every day? Well, this morning, that's what I want to talk to you about. And remember when Jesus was born, I mean, you know, we sing the wonderful carols. We have the beautiful Christmas cards, you know, the shepherds coming with gifts and the star, the manger, the wise men, all of it. But you know, that's not the way it happened. There was no prenatal unit back then. Well, wait a minute. This side, let me talk to y'all. This side, there was no prenatal unit back then. You know, the nurses didn't come and have, here's a hot, warm blanket for the brand new baby. No, there was none of those things. No doctors, no nurses. There wasn't even room in the inn for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was born in a what? And what is a manger? A feed trough, something that animals eat out of. I'm so thankful that as we celebrate the birth of our Lord next Sunday, but we're doing it in advance today as well, God, who didn't need a thing, nothing. He is El Shaddai. If he doesn't have something, he can create it himself. The God who absolutely needs nothing, perfect in peace, perfect in holiness, perfect in love, perfect in truth. When you really get down to it, the one who said, let there be light, and light was, we heard the voice of a little baby who said that, crying in a manger. Loved one, I don't know how you feel about that, but I stand in awe every time I think about God coming to this earth. And you know something else? When I listen to the kids, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old, but every time I hear the kids sing, you know, I nearly want to start crying. And that doesn't mean I'm a sissy pastor or anything. But it just, there's something about it that moves me every Christmas as I watch them. And, you know, I have the honor and the privilege of watching them from the, you know, grow up. They're born here. They grow up. And then the next thing I know, I'm marrying them. You understand? Officiating in their marriage. The next thing I know, we're dedicating their children. And then the next thing I know, we're baptizing their children. And the next thing I know, I'm marrying their children. It's wonderful. I've got a great life. I'm so thankful for what I do. I'm so thankful that God called me, that I'm so thankful for this church. But you know, loved one, what is it? How is it that God stepped out of eternity into what we call time, and he comes from the throne of God, and he ends up in a feed trough, and it didn't bother him? When I look at God and how wonderful he is, I pray that you listen this morning and not let this word be something like deadly familiarity to you, because you can walk out of this place this morning, you can truly bring Christmas, the heart of Christ, to this world that we live in, into your families when you meet. You know, all of us, we have families. We have the black sheep of the families, don't right? I know your families are all perfect. No, I mean, I know what that's like, but you know what? We can bring Christ to everyone this Christmas, and I pray that we do that every day of our life. Look now, Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 5 with me, and it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Now, what in the world does that mean? Listen, it says, who being? That's pre-Bethlehem. That means when Jesus, all that Jesus was in heaven, before he came to this earth, before he wrapped his deity in flesh, if you will, there he was, and it says, who being in the form of God. The word form there, we look at it and say, Bill, what in the world does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean shape at all. The word is, in the Greek, is morphe. It's talking about not the outward expression of deity, but the inward expression of deity that never, never changes. In other words, Paul the Apostle is saying that Jesus was in heaven before he came to this earth, and he is God. Are you following me? He didn't become God. He has always been God. Jesus said in John's Gospel, he said, listen, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Amen? Now, with all that being said, Jesus is now in heaven there at that Bethlehem time. Jesus is now descending from heaven's glory to the earth. I don't understand it all, but I know this. He's leaving the throne room, and I know that the cherubim and the seraphim and all the angels of God and all everything that's up there wherever heaven is, I mean, they looked at him in awe, saying, you mean you're going there to the place that you created? And what happened? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed a little teenage girl named Mary. And she became pregnant, if you will, with the Savior of the world. What a high honor given unto woman and human beings. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you're so incredible. His exalted position, he comes down to be born of the virgin. And not only that, it says that Jesus did not think it was a robbery or something to be equal to because he was equal to God. In other words, he was God. The word robbery means he didn't think it was something him being God to be held upon to hold it and clutch in his hand and so forth. He didn't think about himself at all. He only thought about you. He thought about me. He came to help us. He came to rescue us. Amen? Oh, I'm so thankful he rescued me. Are you thankful that he rescued you? Amen. Now listen, he left heaven. He was born in Bethlehem. It says in Luke's gospel, as we know, there Joseph and Mary in the manger, in the stable and so forth. And he's born in that manger wrapped in those swaddling clothes and all of that. And here's what's so incredible. God had never, ever, ever became flesh. How do we wrap our hearts and minds around that? I mean, for the first time, God Can you imagine holding God in your arms? The first time he was ever held in his arms by a woman, his mother. Think about that. I mean, you say, Bill, you're stuttering. That's because it's too deep for me. I don't know how to wrap my heart around it. I mean, to be fed with human hands, kissed with human lips, and all the rest of it. And then God says, here I am. I'm born. I'm Emmanuel. I'm God with us. And not only that, I'm locked into what we call time. God, who is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He says, no, I'm locked into time. So from a throne in heaven to a feed trough on earth, what did Jesus do? Listen, this is the steps of what we call his humiliation. Stepping from his majesty, stepping downward, if you will. Look at verse 7. It says, but made himself of what? Listen, if I was going to be God, I mean, listen, I think I'd call a crowd, don't you? I mean, I at least want to be born in a palace. Well, you know, or some, like a nice motorhome or something, but I mean, not a feed trough. You know what I'm saying? And what does he do? He made himself of no reputation. Now, listen, this is what we call one of the greatest passages in the New Testament about the Lord. The word made, we get, is the word kenos or kenosis. We call this the kenosis passage. And that word made is an incredible word. It means that Jesus, God himself, when he came, he literally emptied himself completely. Emptied himself, not of his deity, not of his divine nature. No, that's impossible. But what he did, he emptied himself of all of the rights and the privileges that he had as being God. Are you following me? I don't know how to teach that. I look at that and I say, Lord, how in the world did you do that? You know, he who created all things, he who sustains all things, owns all things. What did Jesus do? He forsook everything, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. He literally wrapped himself in flesh, and he hid the majesty that he is and the glory that he is within that flesh. That's an unbelievable thing for me, but I know it to be true. When Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer before, when he knew that his hour had come, he was going to go to the cross. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 17:5? He's praying to God the Father, and he says, oh, now, Father, give me glory with you. Give me the glory I had with you before the world was made. Now, listen, Jesus did not pray for his deity to be restored because he is God. Do you understand? He prayed that the glory that he had before he left heaven and came to the earth, he says, I want that glory back. Listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, here is our Lord. He emptied himself. He lived as a man, and he didn't use his privileges for himself. He used his privileges for everyone but himself. Amen? That's what our Lord did. You know, he gave everything up, even his own life. Bore the sin of the world for all of us. And look at the third step there. It says, and taking the form of a servant. In other words, from the master of all to literally the servant of all, yet during the whole process, he still remained the master. Winds obeyed him. Demons fled from him. He could manifest food, you know, for the thousands that were hungry. He could heal the leper, all the things that he did. We said this about this scripture. He says, the only person in the world who had the right to assert his rights waived his rights. In other words, he says, no, it's not for me. It's for others. Now watch that word form there again. That's that deity that we're speaking of, a deity that never changes. It says that he became a bondservant, a doulos in the Greek. That means he became a slave. Do you really believe Jesus became a slave to mankind? The Bible, what did Jesus tell us? He said, if you want to be first, he told his disciples, he said, if you really want to be first in this life, then be a slave of all. And that's what he did. Jesus came to what? Bear the burdens of the world. He was a man of grief and great sorrow. He bore all the pain and the guilt and all that upon the cross for you and for me. This wasn't role playing, you know, when he says here, well, you know, I'm going to be a slave. No, he literally was. The Bible tells us what Jesus told us in Matthew 20, verse 28. He said this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You remember in John's gospel in the upper room in John chapter 13, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, remember, he's up there with his disciples. Judas is there as well. And it says that those that God had given him, he loved them, meaning the disciples, to the end. In other words, to the uttermost. Even though they were going to desert him, even though that they were going to deny him, and even though one would betray him, he still loved them to the uttermost. And it says in scripture there in John 13, it says, and Jesus, knowing that God had placed all, his Father God had placed all things into his hand. What is the very first thing that Jesus put in his hand after that? A towel. He girded himself up. He knelt upon his knees. He took a basin of water and he washed the disciples' feet. He did what they would not do, what they refused to do. He did. Jesus was a bond servant, our Lord. You know what I fear? I say this tenderly because it is the Christmas season and I do want you to be happy. But I fear that the present day church in America, the sons and the daughters of the living God, the co-heirs of Christ, those that are loved as much as God loves Jesus, his own son, meaning us, I fear somehow, some way, that we have lost our towels. We've lost our service to God, a service one to another. Jesus took the lowest place. That's what it means when he became a bondservant. He was despised. He was rejected. John 1:11, he came to his own and his own received him not. Did Jesus have absolutely anything to gain by coming to planet Earth? No, he did it of his own volition. He came because he wanted to come. We had everything to gain. Look at the fifth step down, and it says, and being found in appearance as a man. Now listen, morphe or form means God, our Lord Jesus, never changes, meaning his divine nature, his deity. But the word appearance there is a different word in the Greek. It means that he changes continuously, but not on the inside, on the outside. Look what it says again. It says they're being found in the appearance of a man, meaning this. Jesus was born a baby, and does a baby always stay a baby? No. The next step, you become a toddler. You know how it is. And then you become a child. Then you become a teenager. Oh, then you know what I'm saying. And then you become an adult, you know, and then, when you turn 18, and then you think you know everything. No, I'm just joking. That's what that word appearance means, that Jesus on the outside was just like you and me. And he was changing just like we would change when we were born and so forth. And look at the sixth step here. And he, meaning Jesus, our Savior. Look, what, say that with me. He what? Humbled himself. You know, you should circle that in your Bible. The self-humbling of our Savior when he came to this planet. In other words, Jesus lowered himself to other men. Think about that. The one who created everything lowered himself to other men. He dressed as a slave almost. He was a foot washer, like I just told you. And if you look at his life, I went through all the scripture. Do you know Jesus never said, okay, enough is enough. I can't take it this humility. I'm being humiliated. I can't walk in humility anymore. You won't find that in scripture. For 33 years of his life, first of all, when he was a baby, you know what Herod wanted to do. He wanted to kill the Christ child. All of his life, people despised him, did not want anything to do with him. He was even called an illegitimate child. In other words, the Jews said, no, you're one that is born of fornication. His brothers and sisters, they even thought Jesus had lost his mind, that he had gone mad. And then at the end of his earthly ministry, he was deserted by everyone that said that they would never leave him nor forsake him. He lived a life of perfect, unbroken obedience. And he never, ever complained. Step seven, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus came to die. You know that, I know that. Jesus was born to die. He came to taste death for every person, the Bible says. He came to defeat and conquer death, amen, and the devil and sin. And he came to save us and rescue us. The Bible tells us that he bore the sin of the world. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus, listen, he did it of his own volition. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, it says, for the joy set before him, meaning Jesus, the joy set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. Think about that, friend. What was the joy that was set before our Lord? You mean you're going to scourge me? You're going to rip my back to pieces? Is there any joy in that? You mean you're going to put a crown of thorns upon my head and shove them into my brow? You're going to put a spear into my side? You're going to cover my head and you're going to beat me with human fist and say, prophesy, who smote thee? Is that the joy that was set before the Lord? Was it the sin of the world being placed upon him? Listen to me. The joy that was set before our Savior was you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. We're the joy that was set before him. And Jesus looking down and said, I want them all. I want every person. I want all to come to me. I want all to live and come to Christ. And what did God do after the humiliation was over, after he was resurrected from the dead? Look at verse 9. Therefore, Jesus also, it says, who has highly exalted, that word means super, super exalted, to the highest place of power. God also highly exalted him and gave him or given him the name, not a name, but the name, which is above every name. Now listen to me. I look and I say, okay, now wait a minute. Jesus came from heaven and now Jesus is being exalted. Wasn't Jesus exalted in heaven? Of course he was. So I said to myself, well, what did Jesus take back to heaven that he didn't bring with him? And then I realized it was his humanity. You see, the Son of God became the Son of Man. We have the God-man on the throne at heaven right now. Did you know that? The God, the resurrected Lord, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. That's who our Savior is. And there's no other name by which a man can be saved today. No other religion, only one name. His name is Jesus, amen? And look what it says. Oh, and at the name of Jesus, every knee, not a few knees, every knee should bow. And look at the places. Those knees bowing in heaven, those knees bowing on earth, those that are bowing under the earth, meaning in Hades and so forth. And that every tongue, not just every knee, but every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, one day, I don't care what this world believes. I don't care what our government believes. I don't care what Bible colleges may teach, and I hope that they don't, but some do. I'm telling you that one day, every knee, every tongue, every knee, every enemy of God, every saved and unsaved, everything in creation, even the rocks, the trees, the whole universe, they're going to bow and say, we submit and we proclaim to the entire universe that there is only one Lord and it is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. He's the one who came and died for us and saved us. But now your problem is you're going, no, wait a minute, Bill. You said earlier, how can we take, as a Christian, bring Christmas to everyone? Well, I'm glad that you didn't forget that, right? So quickly, as we have just a few minutes, maybe 30 or 40, you know I'm teasing you, okay? You'll be able to be out of here before it's 20 degrees. No. How does the Christian bring Christmas to our world? Let's find out by looking at verse 5, and there's the answer right there. It says, let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me, church. Christian, listen. That word, that scripture is not, it's imperative in the Greek, which means it's a command. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It is a command from God Almighty. And God would never command us to do something and not enable us to do it. Amen? Or he'd be guilty. And God is never guilty. Now listen, just in case you didn't get that scripture, let me just give you a few more translations of verse 5. Let the same purpose inspire you that was in Christ Jesus. NIV says it this way. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. The New Century Version. In your lives, you must think and you must act like Christ Jesus. Now listen, all this command goes back really to verse 2 through 4. Look at it quickly. Let me read quickly here. Therefore, in verse 1, let's start in verse 1. Therefore, if there's any encouragement, that's what that word consolation means. If there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, any comfort found in the love of God, if any fellowship or literally companionship of the Holy Spirit, if any affection and mercy, what does Paul say? Fulfill my joy. How? Being like-minded, talking to us now, listen to it, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that's humility, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now listen, lowliness of mind, was that Jesus? Yes, it was. Lowliness of mind is humility. What that means is he's saying, you need to do something. I need to do something. We need to empty ourselves of ourselves because we are really, come on, we really love ourselves. Come on, let's be, don't be religious. You can't be religious at Calvary Chapel. You can be religious at church across the street, but I'm joking. I'm joking. That pastor's a friend of mine. He teases over there about me. I tease about him. What goes around comes around. The opposite of humility is to be full of yourself. Church, listen. If we're going to be Christmas to this world, then you're going to have to act like Jesus. Because it's commanded that we do so. You're going to have his mind. You're going to have to look at people the way Jesus would look at people. It doesn't matter if they're begging on the side of the road or they're sitting right now at the end of some tavern, some bar, and they're liquored up and messed up or drugged up, whatever it is, God loves everyone. And that doesn't mean he approves of sin. No, but he loves everyone. Why? He wants to save everyone. Why? His son died for everyone. Do you understand? I look and I say, oh, God, that's the way I want to live. You know, I want to be clothed with humility like it says in 1 Peter 5:5. I want that. I want to walk like our Lord. I want to be humble. I don't want it to be about me. The older I get, the more I say, you know what? That person was rude. Okay, well, good. He's just a rude person. I'm not going to lose one bit of sleep over a rude person. Even when they run me off the road on 820, you know? I mean, no, it's true. They do that all the time now. 75's not enough. 80's not enough. 90's not enough. I have to buy me a new vet now. You understand? No. Yeah. And I'm going, no, Lord, listen. Now look at verse 4. Look at this now. I know it's time to go, but it's just now 12. I only have 3 minutes. Just hold on. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, oh, but watch this, but also for the interest of others. Did Jesus do that? Yes. He said, this is what you need to do. In other words, Christmas, the birth of Christ, made other people important. And Jesus says, I'm in heaven. I'm interceding for you. I live in your heart. Now you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. You have my grace, my strength. Now here's what you do. You do what I did because now you belong to me. You're my purchased possession. And if Christ be in us, Oh, praise God. I tell you, if Jesus is for us, who in the world could ever want to be against us? Amen? No. Listen, and how is all that accomplished? How do a Christian bring a Christmas to this stinking world that's falling apart, full of sin and hate and all the rest of it, loneliness, bitterness? Well, I'll tell you how we do it. We just obey one command. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, a sacrificial heart and a mind of humility, where he looked at other people and he saw their needs and it broke his heart. Do you know that Jesus knows what you're going through? He knows everything that he's been tempted in all ways, just as we're, yet without sin. He cares for you. Everything that you go through, he's there. It's like I told a person yesterday, I said, listen, he has a bottle for every tear you've ever cried, Psalm 56. And every tear that falls from your eye, he has a book of remembrance. And he said, this tear was for this instance right here. Loved one, listen to me. What would happen if the church in America would finally grow up? What do you mean by that, Bill? I mean, if we finally said, when we walk out of this door in 2 more minutes, if we walk out of this door and we say, here's what we're going to do. Verse 5, that command, we're going to embrace it. We're going to live it. I'm going to walk out of here and let Jesus live through me. I'm going to let him, when I look at people, I'm going to feel what Jesus would feel. I'm going to do what Jesus would want us to do. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John, it tells us this. It says, he who says he abides, 1 John 2:6, I believe. He who says he abides in Christ, in him, lives in him, draws strength from him. Here it comes. Let him walk just as he walked. Listen, that's what we need today. Every place that Jesus walked, did he bring hope? Did he bring his love? Did he bring his healing? Did he bring his caring? Whenever all the people were in there in Matthew's gospel chapter, whatever it was, 9 or whatnot, verse 35 and following, he had healed all the diseases in this certain land. All of the disease, not one sick person left. And yet it says that Jesus' heart was breaking and he had compassion upon them. You know, I would go, if everybody has been healed, I think there ought to be a celebration going on, right? But he says, oh, no, no, listen. He said he looked upon them. His heart was breaking. Why? Because they were sheep without a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Jesus came to be our shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. You know what? I pray for that you walk out here and say, I'm going to be Jesus to people. I want to love like he loves. And I know we have to grow into that, but we're going to love like he loves. We're going to forgive like he forgave. We're not going to hold grudges. We're going to esteem other people better than ourselves. We're going to go to our Christmas homes on next week or whenever you celebrate Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and we're going to love people. We're going to love those that we, maybe in the family, you know, that we've argued for the last 25 years. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I can't stand to go over there, but I'm going. I'm going to take this present, you know, chains and chain him up. No. Listen. No. We're going to be Christmas to people. That's my sign to shut up now. You know, if you don't know Christ, you don't know him as Lord, not religion, but relationship. He came to rescue you. The light has come. Let him come into your heart. You don't know him, receive him this morning as your Lord, as your Savior. Amen? That's all. Isn't that amazing? It's so easy. You just confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And the promise in Scripture is this: if you confess him and believe it in your heart, God says, I'll save you. I'll do what religion cannot do. I'll save you. I'll make you a new creation. I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will, when you die, you will be with me in heaven forever and ever and ever. It doesn't get any better than that. Jesus is our true gift. If you're not with us next Sunday, the Lord bless you. As you celebrate Christmas, wherever, be safe and come back safely. From my home to your home, may Christ's perfect, wonderful peace and presence be yours in Jesus' name. Father, thank you so much. Bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, stand to your feet with me, please. We're going to close out with a song, and listen, if you need prayer.